Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And today we're going to be taking stock of the Clips season.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit of a fresh sting for how that one ended, but we're going to be talking about it. We're also going to give you the final Terrence Mann Vorp watch of the 21 to 22 season and Luke Kennard's final progress report of the 21-22 season. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers. Your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yes, welcome to Locked On Clippers. Coming at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Kill some windshield time. Make us your first listen. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. They have you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And Will, this when our listeners are listening to this, it's the first Monday of the off season for the Clippers after what was
Cancun on three.
Oof, just a weird ending.
Yeah,
it was a very abrupt and kind of. We've had a couple days to digest it. We're recording this Sunday evening. It was an abrupt way to kind of like a bit of a gut check.
Well, I mean, the news just kind of started bad early. I like you put a note in here that it ended in sort of like the most Clippers fashion, really, for this season.
Of course. As soon as we saw that notification, it was just like, of all the shit to happen this year, of fucking course.
And if you don't know the notification we're referring to, we're obviously talking about Paul George, who was in COVID protocols for the
last... he's feeling all right. He was feeling symptoms.
Yeah, for the last Clippers game of the season. Just absolutely brutal. Just absolutely brutal way to end this game. And, you know, as the Clippers have done all season long, they fought their asses off.
Yeah. Reggie and Morris put up almost like 60 combined. Like,
yeah, with the limited, you know, sort of chips that they had to deal with. You know, they tried to make the best of it, but ultimately were not successful in securing a playoff berth in that one.
Yes. It.
They would be playing... to the day that we're recording this.
They absolutely would. We don't know how far they would have gone, obviously, with everything that was going on. Because they almost did win that game. It was, like we said, kind of classic Clippers fashion. They were down. They were up.
Couldn't hold on to the lead. They had a lead in the fourth quarter. And, yeah, man.
Just didn't happen. We're going to be doing player grades kind of like the rest of this week a little bit. We had some let it out takes from Twitter just to kind of talk, you know, the whole season. Just kind of feelings like that. Max Power said, nothing to let out. When you have your best player out all season, you're second for most of it and the most important game, and you bring in a third only to lose him for a month, and you lose your best three-point shooter, what are you going to do? Center needs looking at, though. Pretty level-headed take. We had no Kawhi this year. We had 31 games with Paul George.
And what, four regular season games with Norman? Maybe five?
Let's just call it less than 10.
Yeah,
right?
For sure, like, less than 10.
It was less than 10. We had such a short runway with getting Reggie... An exhausted Reggie, which we're going to talk about just in a second in terms of total minutes for this Clippers team. Used to playing with Paul George and Norm Powell, like three pretty ball dominant guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just...
And it's shown, right? Like, I thought that was one of those things, like... The offense obviously struggled for this team all season. And
yes.
And it had its own struggles even with Paul George before he was out for the elbow.
Yeah.
But I think it was kind of clear, especially at times, executing down the stretch in that Timberwolves game, in some high leverage moments, that, you know, these pieces that figure to be large pieces of the Clippers offense have not really had the time to sort of meld together in the way you would like them to.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make a stew in 15 minutes.
You can't, I'll tell you what, you can't do that. Stu Quinn, who unfortunately lost his over-under.
Yeah. Boy, it was 43?
So I believe so. Pretty damn close.
Damn shame.
Pretty damn shame.
Got a push last year, lost this year. Sorry, Stu Quinn. Sorry, next Stu year, Quinn. Things are looking up.
Yes, hell yeah.
Only thing we got to say, don't quit betting.
Yeah, don't do that. Stu Quinn said, I am at peace with this loss. The team clearly wasn't quite right enough to go for the chip this year. Full health playing together all year. Kawhi, I think they would be. Couldn't agree more with that. So this was a fun ride and house money. Don't need the extra miles on Nico, Reggie, Mook anyways. Clips for Chip 23.
So I like this take a lot. And I think that I agree with the house money thing. You know, it's kind of what we've been saying coming into this season. And I do think that ultimately what we were able to see from the core of other rotation players, not named, you know, Kawhi, Paul George,
right,
and now Norm Powell, was really, really encouraging kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that trade for Norm Powell was like one of the most unexpected things of the season.
The trade for Norm Powell and Rocco is absolutely, I mean, the Blazers are in such a tank mindset that that trade, even with the tank mindset, is still incredible.
Oh, it's high. It's highway,
and I mean that in a very specific kind of way.
It's highway robbery, and it, you know, it makes some difficult decisions as far as lineups are going to be sort of doled out next season. But they're the types of good hard decisions that you want to make
for sure.
And the other thing, I loved what he said here about sort of like the extra miles on Nico and Reggie and Mook as well, because if this team was to kind of go into the playoff scenario with what happened to Paul George, we'd have likely two games without Paul George, you know, if you were to clear protocols.
In Phoenix.
And, you know, like, that puts just another...
We love this team.
We love this team, but that's like...
That's a tough two games to open that series.
I'm not saying even that those games are impossible necessarily to win, but, like, in order to win those games, you need, like,
40... Everyone's perfect.
Yeah, and you need 40-plus good Reggie minutes, you know, 40 probably Mook minutes, damn
Which
near.
Wasn't possible.
High 30s for Nico. And, like, it does get to the thing where you're like, oh, okay, so ultimately... If we're going to have these kind of city miles, if you will,
on
these older legs, you know, what are we doing here? Like, what is the end goal?
Yeah. Because
of course,
at some point the returns are diminishing with what you're getting playoff reps with hurt team.
And I know this contradicts a little bit of what I've said about playoff reps, because yes, I do in theory love the idea of those reps. But I think that this year...
Those play-in games showed how tired guys were.
I think this year really kind of crystallized it for me, just sort of like what the limits are in terms of like regular season load and minutes for a lot of these guys who are, you know, they're just going to be a year older next year. So it, you know, in some ways, while it sucks with how hard this team fought, I thought they absolutely deserved a playoff berth. But in some ways, it could end up being a blessing in disguise for the Clippers.
Do you wish... So I think one of the knocks, and we're going to get into this later this week. We got a couple guests on this week. It's going to be a fun time just kind of shooting the breeze, decompressing from the season. Do you think we should have done maybe more youth development? Or was the season... For me, the season was so in limbo between we might get Kawhi and PG back to... Okay, even if it's quote-unquote just PG and Norm back, like, we can't really...
So now there's friction between Kawhi
yeah,
and Clippers.
Exactly.
JK, don't take that seriously. Sorry.
Jake didn't mean Snapback, or whatever that guy's name is.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Continue with your point.
I think some people wanted there to be more kind of youth development, and specifically Brandon Boston Jr., but we were so in between. We had no idea. Kawhi was never fully shut down, so we didn't know if he was coming back. Paul George ended up coming back, and it's like... We couldn't really develop the youth. And Brandon Boston Jr., he played in the G League. It was great. Like,
so my counter to that,
you know what I mean,
be,
though? We were in a rock and a hard place with development is what I feel like. We have no draft pick, obviously.
My thing with this would be, I actually kind of go back to the Lawrence Frank quote where he talks about development needs to be a thing that's not just for younger guys, but also for vets, like later in their career.
Sure.
And so in that regard, I still do see this as a developmental year. And we were kind of straddled in a rough position, right? Like, if we had a draft pick, I would say, yeah, maybe we should have pushed youth development.
But you know what?
More.
Ty Lue wouldn't do that. And I mean that in a nice way. Ty Lue wants to win games.
You know, it's ultimately what kind of caused the rift between him and the Cavs.
Yeah.
Know, what, you know, led to the end of his kind of tenure there, even after bringing a chip. So I get it. And I think that there are limitations. And I think we saw those limitations in rotations and in action when, you know, there were winnable games. There were games on the line. And yeah, you're not going to get developmental minutes for younger guys in those because ultimately this team is still in a place where they want to win games.
Yes. It's a bunch of vets. Like, they don't want to go out like that, basically.
Yeah. Like, and I think the other thing you have to manage is like part of being a championship team, part of being a coach.
Yeah.
Is sort of like managing all these personalities, right?
Sure.
And like, you don't have great morale for the 22-23 season if your vets have been in a situation where they're like riding pine watching this team lose night in, night out.
Exactly. And we got, I mean, Brandon Boston's 27 versus Boston is honestly just that one moment. He had a lot of good moments this year for a rookie. That one moment, that's enough dev. That's a lot to learn from us right there. And he got the G League time.
And he got and I think you got to remember the other parts of development too. You got to remember the other parts of games where he's going 0-for-6
yeah.
and sucking, and still and has to find ways to be valuable enough to not be on that bench.
Yeah,
that's development 100%. Too. And it doesn't look the same, obviously. It doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
But look at teams that have young draft talent and they're trying to develop that talent. And tell me if you want to switch places with those teams this season.
Yeah, it's really great or it's not very fun. We got another take to discuss as well as some Terrence Mann Vorpwatch stuff. But first, we have to give a shout out to Athletic Greens.
Oh, man. Chuck and I love our Athletic Greens. We're texting each other almost daily. Did you take your greens today?
It's great if you maybe you have a fun night out. The night before, you have some Athletic Greens the next day, get a little bit of boost. It's a good time. People always ask, what is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. It's fantastic. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NBA Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And now that you've helped your brain and your body, Will, what else? You might need a little sustenance after the liquid. What can I eat?
You got to check out Built Bar. If you listen to this podcast, you know that Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. But what you might not know is that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There's truly something for everyone. It's actually really cool. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the flavors, you're missing out. They got coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange cookies, and cream, and German chocolate.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, yummy. You want to know what my favorite flavor is?
What?
All of them. That's why I get the mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Look, not only are Built Bars the best tasting, these bars are also healthy. Each bar has 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And right now you should check out the Puffs. It's the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Not just a protein bar, a protein treat.
Ooh.
That comes in churro, coconut, and banana cream pie. And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
All right, now that we are healthed up, we're going to be talking some Terrence Mann Vorpwatch. But first, we had another take from Daniel that I really liked. He said, our great was great, but our bad was bad.
Oh, yeah.
He said, we were who we were all season. Did the best we could with our limitations. Hope we don't trade favorites this offseason after this tryout year. So I love this take. This goes into Terrence Mann Vorpwatch, too. Here are the leading total minutes played guys for the Clippers, the top 5. We had Reggie at 2,337 minutes.
Damn.
Terrence Mann at 2,317 minutes. Luke Kennard at 1,919 minutes. Zoo at 1,852. And Amir at 1,567. If that doesn't put in perspective for kind of what this Clippers roster was dealing with for the regular season, look, you got 2 starters in our top 5 total minutes played.
Well, shouldn't you?
Right. We should have more than 2 is what I'm saying.
Oh,
we should have maybe 4 or 3 or not.
I feel you.
Not, not 40% or something or whatever it is. It's just kind of incredible when you look at the total minutes load like that. But I like this take. We were who we were all season and it carried over into the play-in because that's what we were dealt.
I think something that's also really worth taking a look at here is there's a couple of notable names that didn't end up in this list.
Yes.
And that's
Xavier
for me.
Xavier Moon.
That's Nico Batum and Marcus Morris.
Yes.
And, Nico Batum led the team in minutes played last year. Good thing good thing we didn't do that again this year.
Yes.
And then, Morris, he did miss some games and whatnot. But keeping those minutes, out of the top 5 highest for him. Is certainly good as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of there's a benefit to this, right? It's good that Amir was up there. He's got, younger legs compared to a lot of kind of what the Clippers were going through with this. Like, I mean, Marcus Morris and Batum were 6 and 7. They were right below Amir, but you're kind of happy with that, right?
Out of, like, the top five. I mean, they still got to play games, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I mean, Eric Bledsoe's 8th, Hart's 9th, Paul George 10th in total minutes played for the Clippers. Like, when this is what your consistency
is, that's crazy.
That's kind of nuts.
31 games of Paul George and he played the 10th most minutes. It's crazy.
Yes. It's pretty incredible. But now this leads us into Terrence Mann, Vorp Watch, which, look, every week we would talk Terrence Mann's Vorp, which is value over replacement player. This is a wonky stat. This is a stat that people use to make fun of analytics, but it's an excuse for us to talk about Terrence. And, you know, if you don't watch a bunch of basketball, it's kind of a nice way to quantify, like, how good they are against a replacement player.
Yeah.
The value-ish.
We
love a baseline comparison. You want the number to be higher. It's cumulative throughout the year. Last season, Terrence Mann totaled 0.6 VORP. This year, he ended with 0.8. Way to go, Terrence.
He's going to get to that one next year.
So, weird end of the season for Terrence Mann. Only played 15 minutes versus the Wolves in the first play-in game. Then had 37 minutes versus the Pels. He had 4-7-4 on 5 field goal attempts. His per 36 is pretty much identical to the previous year.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty... So, 2021, he averaged 13.5 points, 6.9 rebounds, 3 assists. 21-22, he averaged 13.5 points, 6.6 rebounds, 3.2 assists. He shot 0.5% worse from 2 and around, let's call it, 5% worse from 3 in 21-22 versus last season. His usage was just 1% more this season than last. He did kill the Lakers this year, which was a very good time. Who could forget the 19-10 4-3 game in February? He showed off his assist to turnover ratio abilities.
Yeah,
he saw a lot of good stuff from Terrence in this regard this year.
Yeah, he can be really, really smart with the ball in his hands.
What did we really like from Terrence this year? Before we get into some of the things maybe we didn't like, Marcus Morris did discuss kind of in his exit interview how there maybe needed to be a need for a backup point guard, which the Clippers were, we could tell, kind of hurting in that sense after the Eric Bledsoe trade.
Oh, yeah.
Could that be Terrence Mann next year? Do we just need more Terrence Mann? Where are we at on his season as a whole?
I don't think he's ready for that responsibility. And it's not even like so much as ready, so much as like, I don't know that that's really where his best skill set lies.
Yeah.
You see these assist numbers being pretty much identical to last year. I guess that's, I don't want to say troubling, but it for, you know, playing more point and all the talk about him kind of running the point more with the second unit, it seems clear that maybe that's not where our priorities lie.
Yeah.
I think the rebounding, I'm surprised that he averaged overall less boards this year because he had some monster games where he was pulling down
and
like
we needed
8-9 plus boards.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty wild. But yeah, I think he did still develop as a facilitator, I think, in theory, even though you don't see it like necessarily reflected in the stat numbers. I think that he is a smarter passer than he was. Definitely
totally agree with that.
Definitely like a much more capable and competent ball handler.
It feels like he's still kind of
and defensively
in between
I feel like,
where how we're supposed to use him. I don't mean that as a shot to Ty Lue or anything, but
it's kind of a
he's up and down with what he's bringing you.
Well, part of the issue is just like inherent in the type of player he is, right?
Right.
Like,
he's asked to do so many different things that
yep.
when you have to fill what did Ty said that he called the six, like he plays the six because there's so many different things he has to do. That's great in a pinch, but what about when you're not in a pinch, right? What about when you have a very clear directive? And this, again, this isn't a knock on Terrence Mann. It's just kind of a byproduct of what kind of player he has to be by adapting so much.
Yeah.
That when things do get settled, like it felt like when Paul George is on the floor, Terrence becomes a lot more, he'll defer a lot more, which of course you have to defer
natural.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's natural, but it was like, we needed that juice, you know? We needed those crashing those Pat Bev-esque rebounds and things like that. Cause man, there was that stretch. What was it like a couple weeks to end the season before, you know, the crazy back-to-back week, he was filling the stat sheet. Like he was having like 8, 6, and 7, like these stat lines where it was exactly what we needed from him, off the bench. But I think the wonky year, he was never going to live up to the expectations that some people had after his playoff game versus the Jazz for sure. But he's a guy who I think is going to benefit so much more from stability roster-wise.
Definitely. Yeah, no, 100%. So should we talk about some things we didn't like?
Yes, and it's kind of the same things from the year before, right? Like,
yeah. There's still some sometimes some hesitancy to score with the ball in his hands. He did get better as the season progressed, but I thought sometimes you know, he would be dribbling for too long without really advancing the ball in any sort of meaningful way. And that is actually why I would argue that I do think that he improved as a facilitator, because I thought saw less of that as the season moved on. And he still can be a little bit hesitant to shoot those wide open threes, which I still think it's an improvement from points that we saw in the season.
Sure.
But you would still like to see that confidence certainly where it was in that playoff series.
Yes, very good call. He improved pretty well on defense. He could guard, you know, it felt like he was more capable kind of guarding true ones, because he's always...
He could be pesky on guards,
He's had to do that his whole career. It's been like, hey, go guard there. You know, they're number one point guard. It just, just feels like all he was asked to do, all the different things, it seems hard to kind of focus on the things you need to fix when you're not, like, again, just kind of in patch mode.
Yeah.
Which felt like a lot of the times the ball would stop with Terrence, like kind of you was alluded to. He would do the thing where he would get into pump fake mode and he would have to force these turnaround jumpers, which, like, Terrence has absurd finishing when he's kind of switching hands and turning kind of the opposite way with his shoulder at the rim is great.
And in the preseason, I was a big fan of some of those mid-range shots he was taking, mostly because, you know, there wouldn't be a Kawhi this year. How much Morris we would get was, you know, sort of in question at times. So it made a little bit more sense, but I'm glad that he, you know, kind of took some of those shots out of his vocabulary. Not all of them.
There's still some turnaround J's where you're like, come on, man, like, we don't need that. But we do know that he is a guy who puts the time in to get better, which is great. So I'm really excited to see what he does in the offseason. He deserves a break. Like, all these guys, just take a week off. Don't do anything. Terrence Mann, again, the second most total minutes in the Clippers regular season of any player. Coming up, we're going to be talking the final Luke Kennard progress report. But first, we've got to give a shout out to Bet Online. Talked about them earlier. They are the number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Hope you took the Celtics in game one. That was a nail biter right there. It's kind of nice to watch playoff games and not be stressed out, but I will say I would give anything to be stressed out about it. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball. We were at the Dodgers game the other day. It was a great time. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering info, from live betting to playoff esports and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right. Now, man, with the grain of sadness, we must come to the final Luke Kennard progress report of the regular season, of the season.
Brutal. And just one of the more unlucky ends to the season for any Clipper player.
Yep, took a knock.
Unfortunate as all hell.
Yeah.
He took a knee to the hamstring versus OKC, and that was it. Kept him out of the play-in. This absolutely killed the Clips. The Clippers shot 25% from three in the four-point loss to the Pels.
Yeah.
On Friday. Look, the team was great versus Minnesota from outside without Luke, but that's not what lost us that game. That doesn't matter.
He could have got us some more space, though, possibly.
He would have made the difference in both of these games. And honestly, I was wrong about this, about kind of his usage and things like that. But just an unfair ending to a guy who had, I mean, he got to compete in the three-point contest back home in his home state. You know, the do zone is going to haunt all of us after that. Just... I'm so upset that he didn't get like a fair end. Him and PG, it was like just unfortunate endings.
Well,
a damn shame. I can't think of anything else way to say it.
And that's the only knock, truly, like on the like sort of developmental side, would have been getting some, you know, actual sort of like very high leverage sort of playoff looks.
ATOs for Luke. What he's looking like, would have loved to have seen.
But you know, that's completely out of your control. It's not as if he was healthy and we just, you know, kept him on the bench and didn't go with him. Not a lot you can really do with that.
But that was the recent history. Over the whole season, Luke Kennard finished the year averaging 11.9 points, 3.3 boards, 2.1 assists. 44.9% from three on six attempts per game, the second most attempts per game of his whole career. Best in the league. The four-point play versus Washington is probably the highlight
of
his year. That was incredible. He had 25, 8, and 6 in that game. He had 8 20-point games this year. The only time he had more in his career, he had 10 in the 1920 season in just 28 games when he played for the Pistons before he came over to the Clips. He averaged 9 field goal attempts per game. We just talked about hesitancy with Terrence Mann. We know, all right, let's talk about what Luke Kennard did well. The defense this year, obviously not what he's on the court for, but it was a marked improvement into what you could expect for just lineups that Luke Kennard was playing in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I thought along with that, he did carry over some of what we talked about last year in the postseason, where it seemed like his rebounding, he was kind of like learning positionally where to be better when guys were sealed off from the basket, trying to like make the effort to sort of get in there and grab the loose ball.
Yeah.
So I did think that that was solid. Another big plus, which is like really more on Ty Lue and the organization than it was necessarily Luke as a player, but like finding ways to actually use Luke effectively, which on paper isn't that difficult of a thing, right?
Right. Like he's the best 3-point shooter in the league. Yeah.
You get him actions.
You get him the ball.
Yeah, you get him the ball in a great catch place and just let him kind of do the rest. And it was kind of one of those questions we had, right? As his salary bumped up, would that be something they would be able to do effectively? And I think the answer is resounding yes. And that's another piece of development that I do think could prove to be valuable, even if, you know, the field goal attempts and the usage will not be as high next season, certainly with both of our stars back. I still think that sort of awareness for where Luke Kennard is on the floor, where he likes the ball, and how to get him in positions to be successful is a translatable.
He can play in any lineup with this Clippers team.
Yes.
And we, a lot of fans kind of expected that coming in. It was weird to start, obviously, with the Lou, you know, Reggie Luke thing, but there were flashes this year of what this team, when fully healthy, well, not even fully healthy because we didn't get to see it with Kawhi, but think about Kawhi, PG, Norm, Luke, and just, there's just a lot of possibilities for spacing. And it's kind of going into the things we didn't like, was there still were some of that hesitancy.
Yeah, and I thought it reared its head more after he came back from injury.
Sure, yeah. he can put up points when he's more selfish.
Yeah.
Like, we know, everybody knows that.
Yeah, he was kind of trending in the wrong direction for a little while post the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I thought he did his best, though, to shake off that funk. I think with some more rest, hopefully that hamstring, you know,
yeah,
works itself
up.
Out.
We need him for a lot more than this year. What would you, I know we're going to kind of do a little more in-depth player grades, but after kind of his first season with the Clips, this was such a marked improvement from that time, I think. And I think I got to give, because Kennard, he did miss some time, which was unfortunate. I got to give the Kennard season like a B+. Like,
I might,
maybe an A-. Like, I'm not, and I'm, this isn't like a, I know he had like his best shooting season ever. And the whole team relation, you know what I mean? Like,
I would have to go A, I think, for Luke Kennard. I think that like,
he deserved a couple more passes, a couple more times. I will agree with that for all our Ohio listeners who doesn't think he gets the ball enough. There are some times where he was missed for sure. This was a good Luke Kennard season.
This was a good Luke Kennard season.
Third most minutes total play in the goddamn team makes no
sense. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, like he was a huge part of sort of bailing us out of some sort of offensive slumps.
He brought us back,
And while we never did get an overtime win, he was one of the clutchest players for the Clippers throughout the regular season. It was just good stuff. And like I just alluded to earlier, like it just all feels like transferable things to me.
Yes.
Which I think is like, you know,
George came back. What was it? That first or second game when Paul George came back, Kennard goes like 4 of 7, something like that from 3, and the Norm comes back. It just, the picture is there, right? We just kind of got to fill everything out in between the lines right now, which is how it feels with the Clippers and their personnel. That about wraps things up. We hope everyone had an okay weekend. Hope you decompressed well.
Yeah.
Hope you saw some fam or whatever you had to do to get over the, again, abrupt and bit of a gut punch ending.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the Clippers season. Thank you for rocking with us the entire time.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. Whew. Another Clippers season in the books. Next year, future's looking very bright.
Future's looking bright. Get those bets in right now on Clippers for the championship on that Larry O'B.
Yeah.
The Gary O'B, as they call it up in Canada. Tuesday's episode. We're going to have a couple guests on this week, but Tuesday's episode, tomorrow, we're bringing you player grades, starting with a couple of the starters. We're going to talk Paul George's season. Twitter Tuesday, so please send those questions into @LockedOnClips. And whatever else happens, hopefully nothing too crazy. We don't need that crazy of an offseason, right? Am I?
No, you're 100%
correct. Let's get a calm offseason. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipland, Will, if someone wanted to listen to this podcast, and after they listen to it, maybe rated it, where could they possibly give us a review?
So you can rate this podcast over on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app on your mobile device. You can also rate us over on Spotify, on anywhere you listen. You can check us out on either one of those podcast streaming platforms. You can also check us out on Google Podcasts. We're on Amazon Music. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. Basically, anywhere you find your podcast, you can find this show. We mentioned it up top, but we do mention Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. We'd love to have your listen.
We absolutely would. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.